Today I want to talk about Joseph. And there's not a lot in the Bible about Joseph, but I'll tell you what is in there is really, if you take a few moments and just meditate upon it, think about it, it's such a powerful story about what God can do in a man's life. And I pray that this morning as we look at him, see how yielded a man he was. And that's really the title of the message today, The Man with a Yielded Heart. That he was a man who was yielded to God. And I don't know that the Lord could have chosen a better person to be the physical earthly father for Jesus. And I think you'll see what we're talking about as we go through this morning. So let's pray. Father, I ask you today to enlighten us with your word. Lord, I pray that we could see the heart of Jesus for what you can do in the life of a man or a woman who is truly yielded to you. Well, I thank you for the Christmas story that day so many years ago when you came to this earth for the whole purpose of saving us from our sins, Lord Jesus. We're so grateful that today we can be part of your family and have forgiveness. Open our hearts now to understand some truths from your word, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. So that's kind of like an engagement. I mean, it's a pretty strong commitment to be betrothed, because you actually had to get a divorce to get out of it. But they really hadn't yet come together as husband and wife physically in a sexual manner. They were engaged in that sense. So when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, and it says before they came together, and they're talking there about a sexual relationship, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you guys for a minute to sit back and think what must be going on in the mind of Joseph. Now, we don't know because the Bible doesn't tell us, but I want to think about it for a little bit this morning. You know, because part of understanding the Word of God is to, in a way, put yourself in the shoes of these people and see how they responded and how they reacted. And again, we're not trying to read into anything, but I wonder, just from a natural standpoint, what would you do, men, if you were engaged to a woman and one day she shows up pregnant and you know it wasn't you? This is the situation Joseph finds himself in. Now, what would most men do? Let me hear some ideas. I'm just saying, naturally speaking, what would men do in a situation? Some would run. Some would yell. What else?
Let's sit down and talk.
What did you say, Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, he would do all those things. Okay, all right. Any other ideas? What did he say, Nate? Okay, I'm sorry, Mike. Oh, you would talk. Okay, praise God. Yeah. Any other? Yeah. How many of you men would sit down and talk? Not men. I don't see too many hands. I mean, again, this is a true life story. This is not a parable in the Bible. It's a true life story that came into the life of Joseph. He was a young man. He had a life like everybody else. He was a carpenter. Thinking about his future, you know, married, you know, betrothed to this beautiful girl, Mary, looking forward to the day they would be married, and then all of a sudden she breaks my dream. Here she comes one day and she's pregnant. What am I going to do about it? Well, I wrote down, here's some things. Maybe shock would be a reaction. How about breaking of trust? And if that's ever happened to any of your lives, you know how devastating that is. When trust is broken, it's hard to regain. It can be done, but it's very difficult. Loss of hope. You know, he had this, maybe a picture in his mind. You know, one day we're going to have our little house, the picket fence, the children, a couple of pets out in the yard, and I'm going to be a carpenter, and I'm going to come home, and we're going to have our family. And all of a sudden, that dream has been shattered here. I wrote down anger. Sure. You know, I think that's an honest thought that might happen. You get angry about something like that. Or just disbelief. How could you do this? This is cause for divorce. You know, in those days, again, being betrothed meant they had to become divorced. But you know, it's also cause for stoning. You know, they were still living in the Old Testament at this point. And so Joseph had some decisions to make, didn't he?
Right.
I mean, should this woman be stoned? Should I go ahead and marry her? Should I cover this up? Should I expose it? What do I do? Now, the Bible goes on to say that her husband Joseph, being a just man. So he was a man in his character that he wanted to do what was right. That's what the word just means. It means fair, equitable, doing what's right. He had the idea of justice. And so I'm sure that in his heart, with this the idea of this word just, that he was wanting to be righteous about it, but there was another side of it. You know, sometimes there's a scripture that says, mercy rejoices against judgment. You ever read that before? Mercy rejoices against judgment. And sometimes we want to do the right thing, but there are times we need to cover it with mercy and kindness. Because sometimes you can do the right thing and basically obliterate people. And you can say, well, we did the right thing. But when the Lord does the right thing toward us, it's always covered with mercy. Jesus said he came with mercy and truth. Mercy and truth come together in Jesus Christ. And so we see here with Joseph kind of those two sides. He was a just man, so he would do a right thing here. But then it goes on to say that he was unwilling to put her to shame. See, he didn't take revenge like some men may have. Look what you did. You ruined our dreams. I'm going to expose this thing and bring it out to the public and maybe even cause a stoning to take place. But he says here, he was unwilling to put her to shame. And in the Greek language, that word shame means an open shame. He wasn't going to make this a public spectacle. So along with the heart of doing what was right, he had this mercy. You know, how can I do the right thing and yet cover this thing in a way that would be kind and blessed before the Lord? And so he says he was unwilling to put her to shame, and he resolved to divorce her quietly. So let's just do this, get it over with. It's the right thing, but I'm not gonna defile her name. I'm not gonna make her an open shame. I'm gonna do this and just let it be a quiet thing. And whatever happens, happens. The really interesting thing about that scripture in verse 19 is the word unwilling and the word resolved are two Greek words that are very similar. They're taken from the same root word. One said unwilling and one said resolved. And let me explain to you what the word unwilling means. It is an active verb, meaning it does something. And it means that he was fully committed to this part of the decision. When it said he was unwilling, it meant he is absolutely committed. He will not put her to shame. So that was the part of the decision he was committed to. Whatever we do going forward, I'm not going to put her to open shame. That was a commitment. The other word, resolved, doesn't have that strong of a word behind it. It actually kind of means I was leaning toward this as the answer. So he was committed to one thing and kind of leaning toward how he would solve the problem. Can you understand the difference there? So whatever I do, I'm committed to not bring her to open shame. And right now I'm thinking the answer is I'm gonna divorce her quietly. So that's where Joseph landed on this. And verse 20, it says, as he considered these things. I really like that, because even though he made some firm decisions about what he wouldn't do, and he was leaning toward what he would do, he was still mulling it over. There's a lot of decisions in our life that we don't have to be hasty about. We don't have to jump into every decision. I would bet that most men in this situation as Joseph would have made a very quick decision. And in some cases, maybe would have regretted it. But Joseph was a man who seemed to be yielded in a way. He had a heart that, yeah, I want to do the right thing. I want to do what's right, but I want to be fair. I want to be kind. And so I'm thinking this is what I'm going to do here. But he's still considering. You know, for us, I think there are times we need to take decisions like this when we run into difficult things and maybe make some commitments. This I won't do, and I'm leaning toward this, but Lord, I'm still trying to weigh this out. And will you give me more direction? You give me some wisdom. Speak to my heart. Help me know what to do. And the reason I'm calling this a yielded heart is because I think many times it's easy to jump into the natural human response to situations. Like I said, I think probably most men that I know would have jumped to the natural human response to this. And Joseph didn't. I mean, if anything, he was committed to not bring open shame to her. That was his commitment. Beyond that, it was, I think I might divorce her, but still weighing it out. But it says, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Isn't that amazing? I think that when we lay things before the Lord like this, seriously lay them before the Lord, he'll direct us. He will give us guidance. The Bible tells us if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And what I'm addressing this morning is that too many times we tend to do the natural human response to life rather than maybe taking some of the things we should be doing and weigh them out before the Lord and say, God, what should I do here? I mean, this is a situation that every man would hate to be in. But how you deal with it and how you respond to it made all the difference in the world. Joseph didn't realize that he was on the radar screen of God Almighty. I'm going to have you, Joseph, you don't know it, you're going to be the father of the Messiah. I'm going to bring my son into this world and I'm going to entrust him into your care as a child. Now, how many of you know if Joseph would have responded the way that we naturally would respond, he'd have missed that?
Right, true.
He didn't know God's plan. He didn't know the future that was laid out before him. And he was faced with what I think is a horrendous situation to have to deal with. And the way he dealt with it enabled him to be in the center of God's will for his life. Rather than jump on the human reasoning or the human response or the natural response, he took a step backward and allowed the Lord to speak to him. And so it says, as he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. So the first thing the angel addressed was the fact that he's the son of David. Joseph, you are a son. It was a kind of a family thing. Remember what the angel told Mary? That Jesus would sit on the throne of David. I mean, he was trying to help Joseph see, you're part of this lineage here. In a way, even though he's not your son, he's your family. It's part of you're both sons of David. And he addressed his fear. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. And again, the point I'm making there is that when we make our decisions and we lay them out before the Lord, we let the Lord help us weigh them out as we consider them, God will deal with the issues of our life. See, one of the motivations within Joseph was fear. And the angel said, Joseph, don't be afraid. Now, the other thing I like about this, and I'm not trying to demean long-term care around things, but you know, a lot of times in the Bible, when people have issues, the Lord just says, don't fear. He didn't say, let's go through a 12-week counseling on fear, did he? He just said, don't fear. And the Lord addresses these things because not only is he telling him what to do, he's going to enable him to overcome it. When the Lord speaks to us to overcome certain things in our life, he, along with that command, comes the power to do it. And so do not fear to take Mary as your wife. And how many of you think the expectation of the angel is that he's wanting that to be like an immediate thing? Like, I don't want you to weigh this out for a year. Don't fear. Take her as your wife. Now, some guys are hard to make quick decisions, and I'm kind of going both ways here. Joseph was weighing things out, but in this case, when he heard from the Lord, he's wanting him to make a quick decision. What we do is the opposite. We make the quick decision on the human response, but then when the Lord asks us to do something, we go, I got to pray about that. I think I'm going to pray about that and see, you know, I need some more confirmation. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. And then you know what the angel did? He affirmed. I don't know what happened if Mary came and she's walking up and he goes, oh my goodness. And she goes, Joseph, it is from the Holy Spirit. That seems unbelievable. Most men is like, you've got to be kidding me. You want me to believe this? Well, maybe Joseph was feeling the same way. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it's noteworthy that the angel in the dream said, I want you to know that it is from the Holy Spirit. What she told you is true, and you can believe it, and you can hang your hat on it, Joseph. And so the angel in this dream addresses his fears, his concerns, and confirms the fact that this baby is indeed from the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture in Psalm 25, 12 that says, who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way he should choose. You want the Lord's direction? Fear the Lord. That's a beautiful promise, isn't it? Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he shall choose. And I see Joseph as that kind of man, don't you? I mean, faced with a bad decision, there was no real winners in this thing. Making certain commitments, weighing certain things out. But then the Lord comes and says, Joseph, listen, this is my plan. This is what I want. Don't be afraid. It is from the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's basically saying, Joseph, I have a plan for your life. Don't let human reasoning step in and blow it. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. You see how easy it is to lean on our own understanding or to respond with our own understanding? The Lord says, don't. Trust him with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. So the Lord's given us here some understanding as to how we can find ourselves in the center of his will. Well, the Lord continues, verse 21, this angel in the dream. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. I like that because he didn't say she will call him Jesus. He said you will call him Jesus. What's he doing here? He's giving this man a vision. I want you to know this baby that yesterday you didn't want. You're going to name him. You know, it was something in those days where the father had this prerogative to give a name. Like, remember John the Baptist. His father confirmed his name should be John. And the Lord, this angel says, Joseph, not only are you going to be around here in 9 months, you're going to name this baby. And I want you to name him Jesus. So he's giving him a future. He's opening up his eyes. And you see how God can change a person from yesterday, I didn't even want this baby in my life. And today, he's telling me, you're going to name him. He's your boy. You're going to take care of him. And that was an immediate change in the heart of Joseph. But it was made possible because he didn't jump to a rash decision. He didn't allow the human response to take over in that moment of duress. And the Lord began to deal with him. He said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, the people are waiting for the Messiah, and they know that he's the one who's going to take their sins away. The Lord is basically telling Joseph here, your son, this baby, the one that you didn't want anything to do with yesterday, is the Messiah. And not only that, Joseph, he's going to take your sins away. You might be the father, you might help him as a little boy, but you need to know you need him. Without him, your sins will be held accountable to you and you will be lost forever in eternity. You need this baby. And the Bible says all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You know, this was spoken over 700 years before the actual event took place. Jack mentioned that to me last week, and that's a true statement. The prophet Isaiah stood up one day in his church service. I don't know where he was at, but he said, I'm going to give you a sign. The virgin shall bring forth a son. Now, how many of you know that is the most weird prophecy you could ever speak? I wonder if the elders on that church service went to Isaiah afterwards and said, brother, this doesn't sound like it's from the Lord. A virgin shall bring forth a child? Now, I'm kind of joking there, but it was a message from God. It was a miraculous event that would take place. This is a way the Lord showed that what he was doing was of him, because a virgin really can't bring forth a child. That's the impossible thing that became possible with Mary. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so in this dream, what a beautiful time when the Lord took this man who made certain commitments, but was weighing out other things. He had a heart of mercy, also a heart of justice, the heart to do what's right. But in that dream, the Lord ministers to him, and the Lord gives him direction, and the Lord inspires him, and the Lord gives him a future and a hope. And he says, hey, this is what it's all about, Joseph. And Joseph's perspective from Friday to Sunday, whatever day of the week that was, or Friday to Saturday, he went to sleep on Friday night, mulling some things over, and he woke up on Saturday morning with a new vision. Everything was different. Everything changed because this man was willing. He was willing to be yielded. He didn't jump up the next morning and say, yeah, but she deserves to be divorced. She deserves to be stoned. She hurt my feelings. She betrayed me. She broke my... None of that was there anymore. Because he allowed the Lord to deal with his heart. The Bible says in verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, when he woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. And I just put down on my notes here, he was obedient immediately. See, again, it wasn't like one of these things where I need to pray about this or give me a few months. I need to really weigh this out. You don't realize how badly Mary hurt me. I was really offended yesterday. And I need some time to get over it. My heart was really ripped apart. You know what I mean? It's all these reasons why we don't want to be obedient to the Lord. And we just stretch it out month after month after year when the Lord says, hey, I can do an immediate change in your life. And the Bible says, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took his wife. He walked over to Mary that morning and says, hey, you are mine. And there was no hint of anything that happened. You know, no evil words were spoken because God did a work in this man's life. And I believe that God will do the same thing in our lives as we are just people. You know, we're fearing the Lord. We want to do what's right. We have to make sometimes very hard decisions. But when we put them before the Lord, he will direct us. And he will do whatever work in our life that needs to be done for obedience. You might be in here today and you have a bad relationship, ought in your heart against a brother or sister or a family member or a neighbor, who knows. And you're sitting there thinking, man, you don't believe how badly this person hurt me. Well, I will never know. I'll never know how badly you've been hurt. But I know that the Lord can change that immediately. Immediately, he can change that. He can take away all the bitterness, the pain, the hurt, and make it right. There just has to be a heart that's yielded and to want his way. Joseph blows my mind. Verse 25. It says in verse 24, he took his wife, but he knew her not. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Of course he knew her. Well, this is another one of those Greek words that means he had no sexual relationship. Now, how many of you guys know what is it that a man looks forward to on his wedding night? Anybody have an idea? The reception? It's a reception. Absolutely. I don't have to be any more clear about this. We all know. Every man is there. It's like, hey, the night is here. Praise God, the night is here. But Joseph said no. How many of you know it takes a man who's not driven by that to say on my wedding night, I'm holding off? Boy, it's really quiet. See, Joseph didn't say, okay, I'm over that, Mary, come on. No, he said he didn't know her until she gave birth. I wonder why. Well, I don't know. I don't know if he felt like he wanted to be sure no one could ever question that this was a virgin. Maybe that was it. I mean, he had the prophecy spoken to him. This is a virgin shall bring forth a child. Well, if I have a sexual relationship with her, she's not going to be a virgin. So I'm gonna just yield to that. I'm going to let that really be my marching orders here. And when that baby's born, that's the night. Come on, Jesus. That's not the night either, huh? All right. Come on, Mary. I forgot about that. That's right. All right. But I mean, really, can you see the heart of this man? That he did not allow the human responses to really drive him. There was something else that had a deeper motivation. And maybe, again, here it was, this is what the Bible said, that a virgin shall bring forth a child. And I want to see that happen. I mean, by this time, Joseph is realizing This is the Messiah. In Matthew 2, verse 13, when they, the three wise men, had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee." Now, how many of you love to get awoken in the middle of the night and hear something like this? Get out of bed and do whatever it is. You know, I know Chuck Eggly, he's a fire, one of those volunteer firemen. Any other volunteer firemen here? But Chuck Eggly will get a call in the middle of the night that says, "Hey, there was a fire," or "Hey, there was an accident." You got to get up. You got to get up and move. You got to go do the thing that you're supposed to do. And Joseph here, again, has this yielded heart. He says, "Rise, take the child and flee to Egypt." That was not an easy task. Right. "Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." So he rose. He took the child and his mother by night. He didn't wait again. "Let me pray about this, Lord. I need some time. You know, we don't have the money to buy the ticket." Or whatever it was. He just said, "Mary, get up. It's time to go." And in the night, in the middle of the night, he wakes Mary. He said, "What are we doing, Joseph?" "Mary, I had one of those dreams again. I had a dream. And the Lord spoke to me and said, we're supposed to go to Egypt." Egypt? This is our home. And there was none of that. It was just this heart to respond to God. And it says, they remained there until the death of Herod. And look at this. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Out of Egypt I called my son." There again, you find these people in the center of God's will. Maybe Joseph, maybe he knew that prophecy, maybe he didn't. Matthew's the one who writes about it. But because of the yieldedness of his heart, willing to do the difficult thing, willing to respond immediately, he finds himself right in the center of God's purpose for his life. In Matthew 2, verse 19, when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This guy's going to get tired of going to bed at night, wondering, what in the world is the Lord going to have me do tomorrow, you know? He said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel." I'm like, we just came to Egypt, you know? "Take the mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who wanted to kill him are dead." Is that what it says? He rose and he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth. Again, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. There again, the responding to the Lord put him smack dab in the center of God's will. So my point of the message today is you have two roads you can walk on. One of them is to simply react from a human standpoint. React just from natural responses to things that happen around you. Or you can take another road that says, "Lord, you know what I really want is your will for my life. And I want to come and I want to lay my things before you. And I want your direction. I want your guidance. I want to be yielded. I don't want to live a life that's always human reaction. I want to see a different life that finds me in the center of your will." When you get saved, not only does the Lord take your sins away, he does that. But he makes you a new person. You are a new person. You're different. That's part of what salvation is. It is, yes, thank you, Lord, my sins are forgiven, but he doesn't leave us the same. He doesn't leave us just having to respond in natural human ways. Because as the sister said here today, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. There's something new about us. I love these scriptures. I want to close with a couple of these. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Listen to this. Though formerly, what does that mean? That means I used to be something, now I'm something different. And why is it sometimes that we get saved and we remain the same? If we're saved, we were formerly something and we're not that anymore. And it was a miraculous change. It's not that I have to go through a 12-step study. It's not that I have to go through 25 years of counseling. He changes us. We are a new creation immediately when Christ comes to live inside of us. The question is who am I going to live with? This new man? Or am I going to keep digging up the old one who's been crucified and giving him a life, resuscitate him? Kirk, you've been offended. I'm going to give mouth to mouth to my old man so he can rise up and be angry and frustrated and bitter. Or can I say, Lord Jesus, allow me to respond by your Holy Spirit. Allow me to respond biblically to this thing that's going on in my life. Because I am a new creation. I'm not the same person. I look the same. And I might be the same height. Everything about me on the outward looks the same. But on the inside, I'm new. I'm different. Totally changed. And the same thing happened to each of us. Paul said, though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent. I can't imagine Paul standing up in a meeting saying, hi, my name is Paul. I'm a blasphemer. No, he's saying, I was a blasphemer. This is what I used to be formerly. This is who I am now. Christ has made something new and different in my life. And this is what I have to live in. The new man. I was a blasphemer. But he says, I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Jesus. And this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. And listen to this. But I want you to know I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the chiefest of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Paul's basically saying, listen, my life is simply like a beacon. He's saying, I am the chiefest of sinners. And I don't know, you may not believe that, but the Holy Spirit put it in the Bible. Paul, the chiefest of sinners. He's saying, I want you to know, if God has had mercy on me, this is an example for anybody out there who would come to eternal life in Jesus Christ. If he's had mercy on me, he will have mercy on you. But I just want you to know, I'm not that man anymore. I was the chiefest of sinners. I'm a new creation in Christ. And that's where he would live in. Ephesians 4:1, I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Can we do that? Walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You've been called to follow Jesus. Can we walk worthy of that? I mean, you know, some of us, how many here have ever been in the military? And you put on a uniform and they tell you, walk worthy of that uniform. Or you play on a football team and you say, play worthy of that. Or you're in any kind of organization, they say, you know what, you bear the name of this organization, walk worthy of this organization. Well, we're called children of God. Let us walk worthy of this calling. I don't want to be living my Christian life where I'm trying to become more like him based upon my natural tendencies for anger or frustration or bitterness or to be so easily offended. I want to say, Lord, let me walk worthy of this calling. First Corinthians 6:9, the last scripture here. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves. Now, you know, here's us. We talk about those evil sins we think are evil, but he says thieves. Or what about greedy people, or drunkards, or revilers, nor swindlers? None of those will inherit the kingdom of God. We live in a world today that really minimizes these things. And in some cases, even in the Church of Jesus Christ, we give people a sense that you can be this way and be okay for the kingdom of heaven. But the Bible says not. And then he goes on to say this. Such were some of you. How many can say amen to that? You read that list of sins there, you can say, yep, yep, oh yeah, yep, yep, yep. But he says, such were some of you. He didn't say you still are. Such were some of you. But you have been washed and sanctified, and you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. This is who we really are. So I encourage you today. I see in Joseph a man who was yielded. And I want to be a yielded man. And I believe God wants you to be yielded men and women. I want you to know that you have been created as a new creation in Christ. And because of that, you don't have to rely upon the natural human response. We see that so much in the life of Joseph. May it also be true with us. May we have a yielded heart. Say, Lord Jesus, let me walk with you in the way that you want. Let me crucify my flesh, the old man, and be a person who can look at his life and say, this is what I used to be. This is what I used to live like. But look what Christ has done in me. So let's all stand together. Father, I thank you for the life of Joseph. A man who was so yielded to you, Lord, who found himself right in the center of your will because he was not rash in his judgment. He did not respond the way most of us would have. He allowed you to speak to his heart. And what a life he lived. Being able to raise up the Son of God. Father, I pray that you would help us to be people who have the same attitude of heart. Not rash, but willing to wait upon you. Not jumping to conclusions, but willing to lay these before the Lord. And I believe, Lord God, that you will speak to us and you will guide us and you will give us direction. And there's nothing that's really impossible for us because we've been made a new creation in Christ. We can really live according to the calling that you've placed within us. Give us courage to see it and, Lord, the ability to walk immediately in the things you show us. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.